the Irish Independent.
The Sunday Show on Newstalk 106 to 108.
Welcome back to The Sunday Show. Shane Coleman with you until 1 o'clock. Now, I want to come back to what has been the issue of the last few days and what's going to be the issue of next week as well. I don't think there's any doubt about that, or the coming week, rather. And that's the really tragic case of Savita Halappanarvar, the 31-year-old Indian woman who died of septicemia in Galway University Hospital some days after she miscarried on the 28th of October. Now, there's no question, and we've been taking the line on this programme, that obviously we don't know the facts of the case. We do have to wait the facts of the case. But I think what is undeniable is it has certainly changed the terms of the debate. And there had been some view that maybe the government might fudge the issue of legislating on the X case, but obviously now considerable pressure on the government to do so. So we wanted to debate the merits of legislating for the X case. And joining me are both sides of the debate. Now, we've got Maria Steen of the Iona Institute and Sinead Kennedy, a pro-choice campaigner. Sinead, if I could start with you, why is legislating for the X case so important?
Well, I think legislation for the X case is so important is because we've been waiting 20 years for this. In 1992, after the Supreme Court ruling in the X case, there was a referendum which upheld the Supreme Court ruling, and the government promised to legislate, and they didn't. And 5 years later, we had another, this time a 13-year-old rape victim brought to court, and still nothing happened. And then in 2002, we had a second referendum, again trying to reverse the Supreme Court ruling, and again it was upheld. And again, nothing happened. Mm. So we've had 20 years of inaction on this case.
Okay, that's
on this
the history
case.
Of it. But
yeah.
What's
but
the
I think
case?
That's why
yeah.
we need legislation. Well, first of all, is that people have voted...
That isn't an argument itself.
Well, people have voted twice for legislation. I mean, they have voted in favour of this.
To be fair, people
that's
vote...
That's not true.
Well, no, hold on.
I'm sorry, they have. They have,
Marie,
they have
you
refused
can come in a second. Well, they voted for a lot of different reasons in those referendums. Let's be frank
well, this
about
is what
that.
Was put to them. That did they want to exclude suicide as grounds for termination? In both cases, they said no. And since then, we have had 20 years of a legal vacuum, which has, I think, in part, contributed to the death of Savita. Because
well,
the, what,
we can't,
well
we
I'm
can't,
just saying there is a legal. My point
that.
Is okay. My point is that
we
there is a
that,
there is
fairness.
A legal vacuum here.
Yes,
that
is, no doubt
that,
about that.
That. And doctors have said that there is there's a kind of uncertainty. And what we need to do in this country is outline the terms in which abortion is legal in this country, the circumstances clearly in law in which it is legal.
Okay, Maria Steen, that sounds like a fair point to me. There is a grey area. We don't know what happened in the case of.
If I could just address that. There are, there's been an awful lot, and indeed Sinead has just said that Savita's death was responsible, you know, the X case, the failure to legislate is responsible for the very tragic death in part or whatever of the death of this poor lady. There are four possible possibilities as I see it. You know, in this case, it's important to remember that we do not have the facts. There could have been medical negligence because either somebody failed, it was a misdiagnosis or failed to spot the signs of sepsis.
Okay, again, we have absolutely no evidence that that is the case.
I'm just saying these are the possibilities. Yeah. There's also the possibility that somebody wrongly misapplied the law and medical guidelines. There
again,
is the possibility.
No evidence.
I'm just saying
that, that is the case.
We have to look at the possibilities.
To be fair, Maria, we need to be very careful how we say this.
There is the possibility that she got, that the doctors made judgment in good faith, but that it was the wrong judgment call and sadly she died.
Okay.
And then there's also the possibility, which hasn't been considered at all, that she actually got the correct treatment, but unfortunately died
okay,
as a result.
So let's
but
see
one thing we can say, one
case.
Thing we can say for certain, and that is this, that if Mrs. Halappanarvar needed life-saving medical treatment to induce her the delivery of her baby early, there is nothing in Irish law, or for that matter in Catholic doctrine, which has been mentioned, that would prevent her being induced early and giving birth to her baby, even if that meant that the baby died.
Let me put that
That's
point
very, and I just want to say that because there has been a lot of scaremongering. I'm conscious of the fact that there are women pregnant around the country, many of whom for the first time, it's a scary enough experience anyway, without being even more terrified going into hospital that you're not going to get the correct treatment. And I want to give reassurance to those women that we have a very, very good track record medically in this country. Irish doctors and nurses have served Irish women extremely well for the most part. Maternal deaths in pregnancy or childbirth are extremely rare and few. And I, for one, on my third pregnancy, I was told that I couldn't labour that because of the risks involved in it. I asked to be induced early. And the doctor, to his great credit, said, look, I've got two patients here and I've got to balance not the rights, but balance the care of both patients so that we both had the optimum outcome. So what he did was he brought me into hospital, monitored me and induced me early at a point where he thought the baby was past, where the risks to the baby were lessened. And so both me and my baby benefited from the judgment call that the doctor made.
Okay, Sinead Kennedy, that point that Maria Steen makes, the law is quite clear. If the life of the mother is at risk, well, then there isn't a problem with terminating the pregnancy in that case.
Clearly, in the case of Savita, there is a problem. This woman, at least three times asked for a term.
Hold on. Can we talk in a more... We don't know what happened in that case. I'm just really
reluctant. We know what her husband told her.
Okay.
Told us.
But look, we're still waiting on the report of this. Can we just deal with the case, with the argument that there is, at the moment, the law, the Supreme Court judgment is quite clear on this. That if the life of the mother is at risk, and we've had numerous obstetricians coming on saying they have performed terminations. So how will legislating for the X case change that?
Well, first of all, I think it is difficult. How do doctors decide when a woman is close enough to dying to give her an abortion? I mean, I think there is, again, a legal ambiguity. And I think part of the problem here sometimes is that it's almost like a kind of linguistic game. Abortion, we're told, is never necessary to save a woman's life. And even if it is, then it's not an abortion. So sometimes I think there's a kind of linguistic game going on here, is that abortions that we approve of, we don't call abortions. But abortions that we don't approve of, they're termed abortions. So there's a kind of ambiguity here, and I just want to give the example. I mean, if you look, and I think it's demonstrably untrue, because if you look at a jurisdiction where abortion laws are similar to that in Ireland, that would be the North, where it is. Again, in a more clear legal situation where you can intervene to save a woman's life. Statistics that were released in August of this year show that 44 terminations occurred in 2008 to 2009, 36 in 2009 to 2010, and 43
in circumstances to save a mother's life.
Where a woman's life is endangered. So clearly, and these are what are classified as abortions. So clearly there are circumstances in which this happens, but part of the kind of linguistic game that goes on here is that we don't call them abortions.
Could
and
I
we pretend that Ireland is abortion-free.
Answer the point that Sinead makes, and I think she's absolutely right on this. Like, yes, the law is clear when we know that the life of the mother is at risk. Mm-hmm. But often it's not as black and white as that. And often it's a fine line and it's a difficult judgment. And there is that legal ambiguity there that really needs to be cleared up.
I just want to clarify this. And this is extremely important that people understand this. The law as it stands, what is central to the law on this issue is the intent of the doctor. If the intent of the doctor is to operate to save the life of the mother and to do his best to save the life of the child, but if the child doesn't survive, that is not an abortion. It does not come within the scope of the abortion law in Ireland. And I want to...
That's a theological distinction.
It's a legal distinction. It's a legal distinction under Irish law. Now, I want to make that very clear for the listeners. And I also want to say, I think it's very important for medical people, for legal people, but also for the country at large. I think there has been great insensitivity shown by the pro-abortion lobby and indeed by Fintan O'Toole in his article yesterday, when he made the same point that you're making, Sinead. There are women around the country who have received life-saving treatments for septicemia, for preeclampsia, for ectopic pregnancy, and their babies were lost. I spoke to some of them during the week. They were extremely upset at the thought that their life-saving treatments, people were calling them abortions, when they were desperately sad at the loss of their babies, and it was never their intention, nor the intention of their doctors, to deliberately destroy the life of their children.
What about the ambiguity in the law? I think most people would accept that ambiguity is there.
What ambiguity?
Well, How does a doctor make the call that just before he says, look, the mother's life is in danger? That's a difficult call for any doctor to make. And doesn't the lack of legislation on this make it more difficult for him to make
that call?
I'll tell you why, Shane.
Because doctors, there's been a lot of talk about grey areas. That is a fact of clinical practice, a reality for doctors, that in all areas of medical practice, there are grey areas where doctors are called on to make very difficult judgment calls. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. Where the law protects them is in their intent. Now, if there has been talk about, Simon Mills on the Late Late Show on Friday night. Said that, you know, this issue is only covered in one paragraph in the Constitution of Ireland. That's true. And he was making the point that legislation was needed. Legislation will be constrained by the terms of the Constitution as interpreted by the court in the X case. So it can't go any wider than that. And there have been doctors calling for clarity on this. If doctors think that legislation is going to bring clarity, they misunderstand the blunt instrument that is legislation. Medical council guidelines, while strictly speaking aren't law, they have much, I suppose, they can go into greater detail.
Okay.
And it's interesting, I just want to say one point about the medical council guidelines. The medical council have complete freedom to be as detailed as they like within the constraints of the law. And it's interesting, when you look at the medical council guidelines, they only have two paragraphs dealing with this.
Okay.
Why? Because if you legislate for this, there is a real danger that sooner or later a situation arises in clinical practice, leaving the medical professionals involved worse off than if
I do want to allow Sinead a chance to come back on this.
Okay.
Sinead, what about that point? Legislation is a very blunt instrument.
Well, I agree that there are problems with putting a legal framework around medicine, but that unfortunately is the situation we're in because of the Eighth Amendment in the Constitution, which never should have been put in there in the first place. So there is a problem with laws coming in governing medical practice. But in the situation that we're in, we have to act to protect women. And I think that in that situation, because of the situation we're in, because of the Eighth Amendment and the interpretation by the Supreme Court, we need to put legal clarity. And many doctors are actually calling for this. I mean, I was just reading when I was waiting here, the Sunday Business Post, Dr. Andrea Nugent, who's a consultant gynecologist in Mount Carmel, who had also practiced in the United States, was talking about the difference between practicing medicine here and practicing medicine in the United States, and how that there was a much, much more conservative approach in Ireland than there would have been in the United States.
What about the point that even if the government does legislate for the X case, that will allow for situations where the life of the mother is at risk. It won't make any difference in terms of the health.
Yeah,
of
well,
the
I mean, there, I mean, Ireland is one of the very few countries in the world that actually makes a distinction between the life and the health. And I'm in no way suggesting that legislation solves the problem that we're in. I think we need to go much, much further. I mean, for example, in the case of rape and incest, there's no provision for legal abortion here. And the fact is that abortion is a reality in Ireland. It just doesn't happen in Ireland. And the problem is that women are forced to travel abroad sometimes in very, very difficult circumstances. I mean, the other case that kind of came to mind was the case of Michelle Hart, who was terminally ill with cancer. She's been treated in Cork University Hospital, and she was refused a termination, and she had to travel to Britain. She, to great expense, it was a very, very difficult situation for her.
Maria Steen?
I just want to come in there. I think it's important. You asked the question at the start about the X case, and that's what Sinead's looking for. Sinead is on record as having said that she believes life begins at birth. Now, I don't think the majority of people in this country would agree with her on that. And the problem with the X case is that it established a legal test where there was a real and substantial risk to the life of the mother. I have no difficulty with that. What the X case failed to do was to say that the doctors should have a duty of care to do all they can to support and to vindicate the life of the child. So at the moment, under the X case, there's no duty of care to the child. So I'd like to ask Sinead a question, actually. Do you think if, say, in the case of preeclampsia, which usually happens in the later stages of pregnancy, where a woman needs to be delivered promptly, do you think that the doctors should do all they can to try and save the life of the baby?
Sorry, I'm not a doctor, okay? And I'm not comfortable making medical decisions. I think that that decision should be made with a woman and her doctor. It is not my decision. It is a decision to be made by a woman and her doctor. And sorry, can I just clarify what I said about... Yes, I do believe that life begins at birth. But I think the point is, I don't think that the vast majority of people believe that life begins at the moment of conception either. The point is, there is no consensus, medical, philosophical consensus on where life begins.
Just to close, Maria Steen, are you saying leave it as it is, leave the status quo? That's not really sustainable, is it?
Well, the status quo at the moment, I think the medical council guidelines are quite clear. I want to reiterate, the Irish women, they are entitled to, and they're protected by the law, and the Irish doctors and nurses serve them well by giving them every treatment that they need, while at the same time trying to preserve the life of their child. If the child is lost in the consequence, for instance, in the case of ectopic pregnancy, where there is no chance of the child surviving, then that is not abortion.
Okay, you haven't answered the question I put to you. Are you saying leave it as it is?
Well, personally, I would like to see the X case rolled back. I think it leaves it right open. If we legislate for the X case, we have abortion on demand in effect, because anybody can present to a doctor and say, I feel suicidal, and they're entitled to abortion in that case.
Last word to you, Kennedy.
I think that thousands of people have come out in support of Savita, and they've done so because they believe that Irish women, that their lives and their health should be respected, and they are no longer going to tolerate political inaction by politicians, and politicians have to act.